This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. We welcome all you listeners, as we tell you every week, wherever you are. If you're at home listening on the radio, you're out in your car on the radio, or you're looking at or listening on the internet, we welcome you to the program. Donna and I have co-pastored a church we have here in Stuart for 24 plus years now. It's hard to believe how fast the time goes. But anyway, we co-pastor Spirit of Prophecy Ministries here. It's been a real honor to serve the Lord, and so we continue to do what He's asking us to do, and this program was a part of it, because we've been on the program now. Hard to believe, as a pastor, Don, how long it's been. Glory be to God. So the time goes by, and so this is part of our ministry, and we love to talk about the Word of God, and we were talking last week about Esther and Mordecai and what happened during Purim, and we didn't quite finish that up, so we wanted to kind of touch up here at the end with you and share some things that prophetically and all. We kind of mentioned it a couple of times, but we'll look at this in a little more detail here today. So we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. As we said, we're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. And also, if you'd like to get a copy of what we talk about today, we make available to you CDs or tape. If you want, tapes are kind of just about obsolete now, but if you want one of those, we can make that for you as well. All we ask for is a love offering. And whatever God would tell you to give, well, you do that and mail it in. We'll be glad to mail it out to you. So it's the address is Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, Post Office Box 413. Post Office Box 413. That's in Stuart, Florida. And our zip is 34995. And if you like that book I've talked about a lot on this program that I've done years ago, and it's still active and used a lot. We've said it's been sent all over the world, a lot of cases. That's available to you with all the appointed times that God's put in place. The seven, basically there's eight with this Shabbat. But we cover that, and we talk about Purim and Hanukkah in there. Everything's in there. We offer that college, basically like a college course, for $25 plus maybe $3 or $4 for shipping and handling. So you make yourselves available to that. We'll be glad to send it out to you. So we trust you'll be blessed with what you hear today. Not because of Don and I, but because it's going to be the Word of God. And there's so many prophetic implications in all this that we can apply to our lives as we trust God in everything that we do. And we see that Esther and Mordecai, they followed whatever God showed them to do, even knowing when to do that fast for 3 days, right, Pastor John? And so we see the wonderful works that came out of all that. But I was thinking about this too, Pastor John. You know, we see that the book of Esther, we read in the beginning, that when King Ahasuerus disposed of his wife Vashti, remember, that was in the third year of his reign. Well, then we read on over here a little bit later, we find out it's in the seventh year, and we go a little bit further, we find out it's in the 12th year. So it took it was a long period of time from the beginning of all this.
That's right.
From the time that the king had to pick a new queen and all, to the end. So, people think, you just read this, well, it just happened real quick, maybe in a few months. But no, this was a long time, a lot of years for this to transpire. And so we have to condense it in our mind and say, well, Lord, I still want to apply this to my life. I don't want to wait 12 or 13 years, but there's a lot of wonderful understanding in this if we think about it, with the Spirit of God to teach us and show us how to walk with God. And this was a very unusual circumstance, we know, for Esther.
And people wonder, why is this book in the Bible? It doesn't even talk about God.
It's not even mentioned.
It doesn't talk about the Holy Ghost. It doesn't talk about the Holy Spirit. It doesn't talk about God. But why? Because it's a prophetic book. And it leads up to, actually, the Lord Jesus Christ. As we find out more and more and more. And we get into what happened. But, you know, it was a special time in history. And when we had our Purim program, you know, I said, you know, it's not just a story.
That's right, it's event.
It's history.
That's right.
And it's history about God's people and how he used them to overcome the works of the enemy.
Thank you,
and
Lord.
How God used a special woman, you know, Esther, Hadassah, and her uncle Mordecai, to bring the Jewish people, to bring the Jews freedom from death. Because they wanted to destroy, and to destroy them completely.
Every Jew didn't.
That was the plan. And you know, Haman, he had power. Well, we know Satan has power.
Yeah.
But we have power, and they had power, and they demonstrated their power by what they did and by following what they were led to do. You know, they don't talk about God or anything else, but you can, if you read it, you can see God on every single page. As he works through the two of them.
That's right.
You know, it's just awesome. And you know, that power that Haman had grown and grown and grown and developed over many, many years. Over many years. And we think about it, you know, when he was hung on the gallows, he still had 10 sons.
That's right, he sure
did.
But
you know, it took 10 sons to probably equal the power of just who he was, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say that, but I was thinking that the other day as we were going through this at Purim. There were 10 sons he still had, but you know, they were destroyed at a later time and hung on the gallows also. So God used this time in history also to bring forth another son, which we're going to talk about in a little while, who was prophesied would come.
That's right.
Amen. I know you don't want to get to jump right ahead, so we won't jump into that right now. But we're actually starting in chapter six, right?
Tail end of 5, going into 6.
Into 6. But I want to give our telephone number in case anyone would like to get a phone, like to call us. You can always get this teaching on a CD, or you can go back and you can listen to it again on the internet on WCNO.com. They have podcasts and all the teachings and on there. So, you know, and pray for WCNO, you know. There's a lot of warfare coming against God's people.
That's right, in every arena.
In every area, right?
That's right.
In every area. So we need to pray one for another. It says when we see these times, these things coming to pass, that we should not forsake this assembling together and to be together. Because, you know, we can strengthen each other and pray for each other. You know, look at Mordecai, for example. He never left the king's gate.
Hallelujah.
He never left the king's gate. He was always watching.
Very faithful.
Always faithful and always praying and wanting the best for Esther, for Hadassah.
Esther, yeah, Hadassah, yeah.
Amen. Well, the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007, and we will be having service tomorrow at 10 a.m. We will not be having any service today Saturday.
One Saturday month we take off, don't we? Hallelujah.
Right, but tomorrow at 10 a.m. we will be having service at Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. That's here in Stuart, Florida, at 43 Southwest Monterey Road in the Monterey Plaza. But you can give us a phone number or give us a call if you'd like directions. That's area code 772-285-7007.
So what time
Amen.
Is that, Pastor Donovan?
10 a.m.
10 a.m. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
You know, I was thinking while you were making the announcements here, you know, I was thinking about in today's understanding of the church, most denominational groups, that would be the last thing you would think, that a woman would be used in this way. And you know, we have two powerful women that we see that was used in the Bible, was Esther and also Deborah. She was a judge for 40 years. And of course, we know that Ruth was in there, and so was Rahab, but there was no real battle with what happened with Ruth. She just decided to go with her mother-in-law. But anyway,
You're talking about like a war? You know, well, Deborah led, didn't she?
Yeah, she led the war. Yeah. But anyway, just thinking about this, you know, most of the church say, well, God would have picked a man to do this. Well, she had someone helping her. And I think about this, you know, Esther and Mordecai worked as a team. And I had a word years ago that was given to me with an acronym, T-E-A-M, and it means together, everyone accomplishes more. Well, if you look at this, they worked together, back and forth. Not one of them did the whole thing. You know, he was at the gate, and he was telling Esther what was going on outside and all that, and so they worked as a team, and so they accomplished this. So, but she was the one that initiated it because she was chosen to be the queen. And it's an interesting thing we think about what the church is, how in some denominations, they look down on women about being in the pulpit or anything. But boy, let me tell you, did she have a pulpit here, right, to do that?
She had an audience with the king.
She sure did, an audience with the king.
And she wasn't invited.
She wasn't invited, right.
And she wasn't invited. You know, she knew who her God, she knew who she was, and she knew her God. Well, we need to know who we are in Christ Jesus, and
That's right.
And we need to know our God, know the Father,
mm-hmm.
how much He cares. And, you know, she wasn't afraid. She said, And you know, everyone is born for a certain time.
That's right.
Everyone listening to us is born for such a time as this.
Absolutely.
You know, Esther had a particular time, and even Mordecai told her, says, if you don't do what God's called you to do, if you don't do, well, he didn't use the word God, but if you don't do what you're supposed to do, there will be another person raised up.
That's right. Hallelujah.
Right, to fulfill that, and to, because you know, God is faithful to his people.
That's
he
right.
always is, always has been, and he always will be.
So let's read a few scriptures. So I'm going to go back up to chapter 5, and I want to start in, where do I want to start at here? In verse 6 of chapter 5, listen to this. And the king said unto Esther, this was at the second banquet, we talked about this last week, remember? She had two banquets instead of one banquet. And I always questioned and thought for years, why would she want two? But we'll see this if we look at it prophetically. What God was wanting to reveal, not only to her and in her day, because they didn't know what was going to happen in the future, but for you and I, we can look through this and we can see to the future and see what God's purpose was to show the entire world through this event with Esther and Mordecai, what God was going to do with his son and all that. Now, verse 6 says, and the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, this was the second one, why, what is thy petition, and it shall be granted thee, and what is thy request, even to the half of the kingdom it shall be performed. Then answered Esther and said, my petition and my request is. Now here's what she told the king. It was her husband. If I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will be and I will do tomorrow as the king has said. So she told him this at the first banquet. And then what her request was, and she wanted another banquet. Well, we talked about this last week. The first banquet was on the 16th of the month of Nisan. You can prove it in the book here. If you study and look at this real close, you can see this. Well, then this banquet that was going to come up the next day was on the Nisan 17. And we mentioned last week, this would be the date, hundreds of years in the future, that Yeshua would raise from the dead. Okay, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. Now, verse 9, then went Haman forth that day, joyful and with a glad heart. And when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he stood not up nor moved for him, he was full of indignation against Mordecai. We talked about that last week, how he hated him. He hated him. And so then he goes home and starts bragging with his wife and all of his friends, you know, how great a person he is because King Ahasuerus allowed him to do what he wanted to do. He gave him the king's ring and all that, didn't he? And verse 12 says, let's go to verse 11. And Haman told them, this is all his friends and his wife, Zeresh, of the glory of his riches and the multitude of his children and all the things wherein the king had promoted him and how he advanced him above all the princes and servants of the king. So he had a lot of pride and arrogance here. Haman said, moreover, yea, Esther the queen did let no man come in with the king unto the banquet that she had prepared, but myself, and tomorrow am I invited unto her also with the king. Yet all this availeth me nothing, so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. So the next verse talks about he builds this great big gallows, 75 feet tall. He's going to ask the king to kill Mordecai and put him on there, didn't he? And so let's go to chapter 6 now. See, at the tail end of verse 5, in verse 14, he says he caused the gallows to be made. Now we go to chapter 6. Now this is interesting what happened here. On that night, could not the king sleep? He was just restless, you know. You ever had a night when you're restless and you're thinking about things? Well, this is the way the king was. And he commanded to bring the book of the records of the chronicles, and they were read before the king. He wanted the records of the chronicles of the kings of Persia. Wow.
You know, see, the Lord, it's in here, the God's not mentioned again.
Nope.
But the Lord stirs up people, doesn't he?
That's right.
How? By dreams,
that's right.
Visions,
sleep. Yeah.
And, you know, words,
mm-hmm.
and prophecy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these things are still active today. It talks about that in the book of Acts, that we have dreams, dreams and visions. And so these things are still, God's name's not used here, but God gave him a dream. Where do you think that dream came from?
From the Lord, yes.
Came from the Lord. The Lord caused this dream to come to him so that he would go to the records. Because God knows everything that's going to happen. He knows everything that's happened.
And will happen.
That's in the process
that's
of
right.
happening, and that will happen in the future. So God knew what this wicked Boo Haman was plans were.
That's right.
The king didn't know about what Mordecai had done.
Nope.
How he had saved his life.
That's right.
And all these things. But see, isn't that awesome, though, that everything is written down? How God's people kept such a good record. How we have the record of the book of this book of Esther. How God kept such a good record that we can see how God works through situations, through
right.
people. Amen.
I always thought about this in our country. You know, we have chronicles, things written in history.
Yes.
We have some of our politicians need to go into the rotunda in different places where they
yes.
have all those writings and see what these men that established this country, what they had
yes.
to say, and the foundation that was established on and all that.
Because they're trying to change some things.
A lot
that
of
were,
things.
That were originally.
That's
so
right.
So we need to go back to the beginning. We need to go back.
That's it.
And the Bible even talks about, you know, returning.
Mm-hmm.
We need to return. Return
Absolutely.
To where God says this is the way it should be.
That's right. You mean the Bible tells us to go back to the ancient past, doesn't it?
Ancient
tells
past.
How things started. Amen. Well, anyways, as he read the Chronicles,
mm-hmm.
it was found in verse 2, written, that Mordecai had told of Bigthan and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. So these two men had a plot. They wanted to kill the king.
And they were close to the king.
Yeah, real close to the king. And the king said, what honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this? Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, there's nothing done of him.
They hadn't done anything.
And so then the king says, who is? Right, interesting. As soon as this was spoken, Haman comes into the king's court.
A plan. God had a plan.
Yeah.
The Lord had a plan. Well, his name's not there. It doesn't say the Lord had a plan.
No.
But I'm saying the Lord had a plan.
Had a plan.
And Haman is right there. And,
he comes,
you know,
walking into the court.
And the Lord's going to use Haman to declare what's going to happen to Mordecai. Oh, my. And
That's
he
right.
thought it was for him.
That's right.
What a perfect timing.
That's right.
And the king said, who is in the court?
Yeah.
Now, Haman, who come into the outer court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. See, he had already prepared this.
And that took a little while to
this
do
was
that.
His, this
yeah.
was his plans.
Yeah.
You know, he was given advice by his friends and his wife, his family. So he had already prepared this. You know, hadn't even spoken to the king about it. He sees there had already had or had
he
the
already
plans
had a plan.
Already
yeah.
in the works.
That's right. Just like when Esther asked Haman to come to that first banquet, she had already had that all prepared before she even told that to the king.
That's right. That's right.
And then verse 5 says, and the king's servant said unto him, behold, Haman standeth in the court. And the king said, let him come in. So he invites Haman to come into the court. So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor? Now Haman thought in his heart, to whom would the king delight to do honor more than to myself? So he had all this pride and arrogance. He said, well, I'm second in command.
I'm the big guy.
This will be for me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was thinking about himself when he told the king what he ought to do.
He was telling him what he wanted
yeah,
to have done so that he could be paraded through the street.
That's right.
And honor could be given to him.
Yeah.
And Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delighteth to honor, let the royal apparel be brought, which the king used to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown which is set upon his head.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And let his apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princesses, that they may array the man withal whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor. Wow.
Now this next verse must have blown Haman away. I was thinking about the look on his face when this was said.
His knees must have buckled.
Yeah. Then the king said to Haman, make haste and take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew that sitteth at the king's gate. Let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken.
Wow, everything that you have said.
So he had to keep his mouth shut at that point.
Even the king's crown, Pastor Gene.
That's right. So then it says, then took Haman the apparel and the horse, and arrayed Mordecai, and brought him on horseback through the street of the city, like a big parade, huh? And proclaimed before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor. And Mordecai came again to the king's gate, but Haman hasted to his house, mourning and having his head covered. He was so mad and upset. And Haman told Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends, everything that had been fallen him. Then said his wise men and Zeresh, his wife, unto him, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall. Listen to this now. Thou shalt not prevail against him, but shall surely fall before him. This is a prophetic word. She didn't even realize what she was saying.
When you think about it, he wanted Mordecai to bow.
That's right.
Mordecai to bow. Mm-hmm. Every time he walked by, he expected Mordecai to bow, and he expected everyone to bow, including the Jews and anyone else. Mm-hmm. But you know, here Mordecai is sitting above him.
Right.
On a horse. He's way above him. Yeah. He was exalted.
He's walking alongside the horse, yeah.
And he's walking alongside the horse, and he has to declare these things.
That's
what
right.
What a humbling experience. So he must have known that his time was getting short.
Now read verse 14.
And while they were yet talking with him, came the king's chamberlains, and hasted to bring Haman unto the banquet that Esther had prepared. So since she had prepared it.
Already prepared. Now we go into chapter 7. So the king and Haman came to the banquet, and Esther the queen. And the king said again unto Esther on the second day of the banquet. Here, see, it's the second one of wine. What is thy petition, Queen Esther, and it shall be granted thee? And what is thy request, and it shall be performed even to the half of the kingdom? Then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. So she's called them my people now. Now she began to reveal that she's Jewish, right?
Right, for we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed. Have things changed much?
No.
To be slain and to perish. But if we had been sold for a bondman and bondwoman, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's
damage.
Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, who is he, and where is he, that durst presume in his heart to do so?
This next verse is a very key
and
verse,
Esther
too.
Esther said, the adversary.
Yeah, he calls him the adversary.
Now, we know who the adversary is.
That's
an
right.
enemy. We know. So he represents the Antichrist.
Right, and the devil.
And the devil. Mm-hmm. Is this wicked Haman boo? That's what we said when we had our Esther fast.
Whenever Haman was mentioned, we booed, didn't we?
Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen.
So then fright came upon him at that point in time, didn't he?
He was afraid.
That's right.
Yes.
And the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace guard. He says, he got mad himself and walked there. He said, how could this man be doing this to my wife?
He had been found out.
That's right. And Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. Turn my page here now.
And the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine. And Haman was fallen upon the bed whereon Esther was.
Sort of like a couch that they could lay back on, yeah.
Then said the king, will he force the queen also before me in the house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face.
Face.
See, the king didn't... They all knew. This is it.
That's right.
You've begun to fall. Well, even his own friends had told him that.
That's right.
Whether that was a prophecy or just a word of wisdom, they had already told him, you know, if Mordecai be of the Jews, the seed of the Jews, then, you know, you're coming down, buddy.
That's right. Well, the next topic we see that the servants of the king
right.
realizes there was a gallows made for Mordecai. So verse 9 says, in Harbona, one of the chamberlains said before the king, "Behold also the gallows," this is the big tree, 50 cubits high, this is 75 feet high, "which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good of the king, standeth in the house of Haman." Then the king said, "Hang him thereon."
Hang him thereon. Can you just see? I can just see him pointing this.
Hang him.
Hang him thereon.
Yeah.
You know, Haman didn't even get a chance to bring his request before
right.
the king
That's
about
right.
hanging Mordecai.
That's right.
Because the king got to told him, "Who's what would you do with the man that I want to bless?" You know.
Yeah.
And so his plans really got turned upside down.
Well,
so they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath
pacified. This was on Nisan 17 now. Okay.
So his evil plan was turned onto himself.
That's right.
That day.
Mm-hmm. So then let's go ahead and read.
Destroying evil.
Let's go and read.
Will pacify the king.
That's right.
I put that note in my Bible.
Now
so
we'll go to
chapter
going
8.
Go. On that day did the king Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jews' enemy, unto Esther, the queen. So Esther got his house. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther told what he was unto her. So he realizes all this now, the king. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it unto Mordecai. Now he's going to be second in command. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. And Esther spake yet again before the king, and fell down at his feet, and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Agagite, and his device that he had devised against the Jews. Then the king held out his golden scepter toward Esther. Now this is the second time this has happened. He held out the scepter to Esther. So Esther rose and stood before the king, and he said, "If it please the king, woo, and if I have found favor in his sight, and the thing seem right before the king, and I be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters." These were the decrees that were written for the Persians to go kill the Jews, devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews which are in all the king's provinces. "For how can I endure to see the evil that shall come unto my people," Esther says, "or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred?" Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther, the queen, and to Mordecai, the Jew, "Behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged upon the gallows, because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Write ye also for the Jews, as it liketh you, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name, and sealed with the king's ring, may no man reverse." You know, there's a rule, a law in the Persian Empire. Anytime a decree was made by the king and sealed with a ring, it could not be reversed. So look what...
When he laid his hand upon the Jews?
What?
Because he laid his hand upon the Jews. You just read that. What verse was that in?
I'm looking here.
I was just thinking, as you said that, I hadn't really picked up on that. I've read this book I don't know how many times.
Yeah.
But when you lay your hand against God's people, you are in for it. You
are
going to get punished.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to get punished big time. Because it says, because he laid his hand upon the Jews. You know, God does not change.
Nope, he doesn't.
You read that somewhere. In that verse, in that chapter. It was a chapter. Oh, here, I had two pages turned. That's why I couldn't find it. I had flipped two pages at one time.
Yeah, we're in chapter 8. Yeah,
it was in chapter 8, somewhere in there. I'll have to go back and find it.
That's
but
right.
you did say that, when he laid his hands upon the Jews.
That's
and
right.
I'm going to mark that in my Bible and put a star there. Because whenever you
touch
come,
not God's anointed, right?
Touch not God's anointed. That's right. And the Jews are his anointed, aren't they?
That's right.
And a lot of people say that, they say, well, you shouldn't say Jews, you should say Israel, you should say this. Well, you know,
or
the
Hebrews.
Book says, the book says Jews right here, because they were coming against these Jewish people. And
verse 7.
Okay.
The tail end of it, if you want to read it.
Because he laid his hand upon the Jews.
That's right.
That is very key right
sure
there.
Is.
And we better take that to heart, because This has not changed.
That's right.
People, this has not changed.
So we better not lay hands on any of the Jewish people. We better continue to pray for them. God's got a plan for them, and we don't want anything to hinder what he's going to do
with
them.
I'll mark it, my Bible,
I'm
going to
mark
it
too,
his
right
Bible.
Here. Yeah.
See, God, you could read a chapter, you could read a book, 100 times, and maybe the 101st time, you'll catch something that will pop off prophetically.
Yeah. Yeah.
That speaks of today, not just speaks of history or the past, but speaks of the present and what's going on today. Mm-hmm. Well, you think about that house that Haman had.
Uh-huh.
His wife lived there, and he had family there. He had 10
sure.
sons. Were they all lived in that house or not? I don't know. But that house had to be cleansed.
Sure did.
That had to be cleansed of the evil, wicked spirit, because that house and all of the goods, all of those goods were given to Mordecai.
Mordecai. Yeah, Esther gave Mordecai Haman's house. Okay, it said over there.
Yes, and everything.
Right.
So you go into a house like that. I would say, well, you're going to better do a house cleaning.
Like a White House, better get in there clean.
You better
clean.
Do a spiritual house cleaning and
a
natural house cleaning as well.
That's right.
Yeah, we could take that another step further, but we won't do that right
now.
Now,
verse 8 says, "Write ye also." He's telling Esther now.
Mm-hmm.
"Write ye also for the Jews, as it liketh you, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring."
Yes.
"For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring, may no man reverse." So that first decree could not be reversed in the Persian Empire. So what's we're going to see? The king now is going to make another decree. "Then were the king's scribes called at that time in the third month," that is the month of Sivan. This is the month of what? Pentecost comes in that month.
So this was the month before that was what month?
Huh?
That Haman was hung on the gallows was in the month of Nisan.
Right.
And you're going to talk about that, right? About when he was hung on, how it relates to Yeshua?
Right.
We're going to talk about that.
Yeah. So
okay.
I'll close it all out, yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, so this was the third month,
mm-hmm.
the month of Sivan. So a whole month went by and then this came up. On the three, so it says, I'll read it again. "Then were the king's scribes called at that time in the third month," that is the month of Sivan, "on the 23rd day there, the 23rd of Sivan. And it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded unto the Jews and to the lieutenants and the deputies and the rulers of the provinces, which are from India unto Ethiopia." Boy, what an area that was, geography-wise. 127 provinces. "And every province according to the writing thereof, and unto every people after their language, and to the Jews according to their writing and according to their language. And he wrote in the king Ahasuerus' name and sealed it with the king's ring and sent letters by post on horseback and riders on mules, camels, and young dromedaries." So you see, this was in the third month. Well, then Adar is what? Adar is what? The 12th month of the year. So it took all that time to get all those letters sent through all that territory on horseback.
So they went quite a few months until Adar, when they were going to destroy all the Jews.
That's right.
But you know, it's interesting here that even tears won't change things that have already been declared.
That's right.
Right, because that had already been declared. The king can't change it.
That's right.
By the king, but with God, he always has a way. What of redemption, doesn't he?
He always has a way out
because he is the authority. He's the final authority. So he had a way for them to be able to fight, but they still had to do something. And I'm thinking about the church. You know, the church still has to do something.
Absolutely.
God has a plan, and he has a plan of redemption, but if we don't accept his plan, then we don't receive that plan of redemption, do we?
Sure.
No, for our lives, or what God's going to do in our lives. But first and foremost, we need to be saved.
That's right.
We need to be saved, and God has a plan, and he sent his only begotten son that we might be saved, that we would be saved, and we would be in the kingdom of God. So God he arranged it so that they could have another plan through the king. I'm saying God represents here would be the king figure, the authority figure.
Right.
And he says, okay, we'll make up. You go and write, and you come up with what the Lord. I keep wanting to say the Lord tells you, but it doesn't say that in here.
Yeah.
You come up with what the plan is, and then he gave the authority.
That's right.
Because you know he had the king's ring.
That's
Mordecai
right.
had the king's ring, and the king said, "Okay, seal it," and then in the king's ring.
That's
with
right.
the king's ring.
Then read verse 11 now. There
it says, "And wherein the king granted the Jews which were in every city to gather themselves together. See, there was Jews all over it.
All
and
the
these
kingdom.
Jews were these Jews could have gone back to Israel, but they didn't. They stayed there.
Yeah.
And to stand for their life. They got to stand for the life.
That's
amen.
Right.
And we have to stand for our life
themselves.
And for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
To what? To destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all the power of the people and providences that would assault them. Anything that would come against them.
That's right.
We have been given power and authority in the name of Jesus Christ to come against principalities and powers in the heavenly places of wickedness, haven't we?
That's right.
Both little ones and women, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. And we know we want to take back what the enemy has stolen.
That's right.
Take it back. We want to take back the things that the enemy has stolen.
We sing a song, don't we?
I take it back.
Mm-hmm.
We take it back. Because, you know, God wants to give us back all these good and perfect things. Even
That's
as
right.
they left Egypt, think about it. They took the spoils of Egypt. They took all the gold and all the silver and the rich clothing and all these
That's
things.
Right.
What did they use it for? Not for their own glory, but to build the tabernacle.
That's right.
That gold was melted down and used in the tabernacle for the holy things.
Yeah. So the second decree then gave them the honor and the privilege to defend themselves at that particular time.
But they had to go out and fight.
They had to fight.
And we're going to find out that they didn't lose any any of their people. It doesn't show that they lost.
Didn't say anyone lost.
But they defeated the enemy in one day, and then they went out the second day to battle as well.
That's right.
Let's go ahead.
Verse 12 now, it says, upon one day in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, namely upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. So it started on the 13th of Adar. So think about it. When they cast lots, those months before, was on the 13th of Nisan, which just before, if they were able to do Passover at that time, it would have been just before the day of Passover. So we take it all the way out. It kind of gives me a picture of Christ's first coming, and then it's a symbol when he dies. We're going to see
so
this.
So they were casting lots day by day, month by month, until the lot said, this is the day. And the day fell
and the
on
month.
Adar 13, which
right.
was a whole year away, because they cast those lots in Nisan,
That's
which
right.
is the first month.
That's right.
Which were coming up on the first month.
So it was a long time.
And Purim is actually mm-hmm. 30 days
That's
before
right.
Passover.
So all the posts went out. It tells you in the verses 14 and 15. And then verse 16 says, and the Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor, because mm-hmm. they were going to get to defend themselves. And in every province and every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day, and many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. Some even converted to Judaism because of the fear.
You mm-hmm. skipped a chapter I want to like to read. Cause
I'm in 8.
I know, but...
We're in chapter 8.
No, I mean you skipped a verse.
Well, yeah, I skipped 2 verses.
I know, but I think that
go
verse
that
you skipped is
okay.
really good. Especially
15. I went
15.
Down to verse 16. Read 15
yeah.
then.
And Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel. He's no longer in sackcloth and ashes.
That's right.
He's accomplished that. He's with
That's
that
right.
which he
he's
was
been promoted.
Sent to do, you know.
God promotes
blue
him.
And white and with a great crown of gold and with a garment of fine linen and purple. See, he wasn't afraid to wear these things.
Mm-hmm.
He knew he had authority. It
That's
represented
right.
authority. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. They saw Mordecai in the street in sackcloth and ashes,
That's
crying
right.
and wailing and doing things in front of the king's gate, which they say is not right, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he was humble. And then they see him now exalted,
That's
right?
right?
And riding probably on this beautiful horse. And he's dressed in all these, like the king. He's dressed like the king. And he's going through the city. And so what? And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. The
right.
Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor.
Sure.
See, they were going to be destroyed one day. And then what? Now they're being exalted,
That's
right?
That's right. Month and a half
Amen.
Later or so.
And,
yeah.
and they, you know, think about it. They knew that this decree had gone out. But, you know, they didn't walk in fear. They were rejoicing because, you know, you got to look forward to a battle.
That's right. Everybody
has a battle. We always have different kinds of battles. But, you know, we look forward to the battle because, you know, if we rejoice even going into the battle, knowing that with God, we will win. With
That's
God,
right.
all things are possible.
Absolutely.
Amen. And in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's command and his decree came. The Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day. They had a feast before the war.
That's right.
They were joyful.
Yeah.
They were happy in their heart.
They knew God was on their side, too.
We know that the Lord is coming back. We know that we are looking forward to the kingdom of heaven.
Hallelujah.
Seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness.
That's right.
And all these things shall be added unto you. They were looking forward to that. We should be glad, even though we're going through troublesome times, and we've seen all this negative stuff on TV, and we know that we're in a battle, but the battle is not ours. The battle is the Lord's.
All we need
to do is walk with the Lord and be obedient to God's word.
What he tells us to do.
And don't be wishy-washy, and don't keep your... You can't straddle the fence.
You
can't live in the world and seek first the kingdom of heaven at the same time.
I mean,
we live in this world, but we can't do the things of this world. And many of the people of the land became Jews.
They became Jews. They converted to Judaism, yeah.
So
because of fear.
And a lot of people say, well, God's through with the Jews.
No.
No. Bible says, even in the New Testament, that we are one.
There's neither Jew nor Gentile,
Greek. You know, we become one in the Lord. We're grafted in to the promises of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Who were they given to? They were given to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Those promises were given to Israel. And so we are been grafted into them. The Jewish people didn't receive Messiah, but those who did, they are also in the body of Christ.
Amen.
In the body of Yeshua.
Even today, which today.
That's right. And many, many more are coming. And there's more and more. We've talked to some people. There's more and more Jewish people that are coming to the Lord, and there's more and more Messianic congregations in Israel and other places.
Yeah, at one time there's only 3 or 4. I understand. Yeah, there's over 50 over there.
Probably maybe more than that.
Maybe more now.
It says, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. So now, who are they afraid of now?
Yeah.
The fear of the blue. Look how God just turns tables.
Yeah, afraid of the Persian Empire and more than afraid of the Jews now, aren't they?
So right here we can see the picture of God's covenant.
Yeah.
The picture of his covenant.
Amen.
You know, and he honored. And it was honorable to be Jewish then. They weren't afraid to claim they were Jewish.
That's right.
It was honorable to be Jewish. Amen.
Now we go into chapter 9 now. Verse 1 says, now in the 12th month, that is the month of Adar, on the 13th day of the same. So we're 12 months in the future from the time that they cast lots, okay?
That's right.
When the king's commandment and his decree drew near to be put in execution, in the day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to have power over them, though it was turned to the contrary, that the Jews had rule over them.
Amen.
That hated them. God turned the table. The Jews gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus to lay hand on such as sought their hurt, and no man could withstand them, for the fear of them fell upon all the people. Hear that?
That's right.
And all the rulers of the provinces and the lieutenants and the deputies and the officers of the king helped the Jews. See, they turned and they changed.
That's right.
They helped the Jews now, because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. For Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his
Amen.
Fame went out through all the provinces.
Praise God.
For this man Mordecai waxed greater and greater. See, if we obey God and do it his way,
we will wax greater.
We'll wax greater and greater, and will be used even more so.
That's right.
Thus the Jews smote all their enemies with the stroke of the sword and the slaughter and destruction, and did what they would unto those that hated them.
Mm.
And in Shushan the palace, the Jews slew and destroyed the 500 men. And then now it talks, I'm not going to go through all these names. 10 sons, verse 10 tells you, the 10 sons of Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the enemy of the Jews, slew them, but on the spoil laid they not their hand. Now that's key, because when Saul was told to go in and destroy the Amalekites and kill King Agag, which he didn't, and he told him not to touch the spoil. So now when this is reversed, the Jews just decide in their own heart, thinking way back, they're not going to be disobedient like Saul was, and so they were told, don't touch the spoil of the land.
So they killed these 10 sons of Hammedatha.
And hung them.
They slew them. Actually, they slew them with the sword.
Yeah.
Okay. But they did not take any of the spoils. They did not lay hands on the spoils. They didn't take any of their stuff, in other words. On that day, the number of those that were slain in Shushan, the palace, was brought before the king. And the king said unto Esther, the queen, the Jews have slain and destroyed 500 men in Shushan, Shushan the palace, and the 10 sons of Haman. What have they done in the rest of the kingdom's provinces? Now what is thy petition? Now here's the petition, and it shall be granted thee, or what is thy request further? And it shall be done. Then Esther said, if it please the king, she's always coming before him graciously.
If it please the king.
If it please the king.
We ought to say, if it please the Lord, we'll do it. And if it will please you.
If it please the king, amen, let it be granted to the Jews which are in Shushan to do tomorrow also according to unto this day's decree. And let Haman's 10 sons be hanged upon the gallows. Here we have
hung on the 14th now.
These 10 sons that are already dead in the street, I guess, somewhere. They're already dead. Now I want to display them on the gallows.
That's right.
So here she
on 14.
So now they're going to hang
Adar 14.
Now, right. Not his sons. Now let's make sure it's not him. It's his sons.
It's his sons.
His 10 sons. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Their names are all mentioned back there in verse 8 and 9. On the gallows, and what that was for, a display to show that we've overcome every single Haman, I don't know what their last name was, but every single son, every single one of his sons, that generation. So what did they do? And the kings commanded it so to be done, and the decree was given in Shushan, and they hanged Haman's 10 sons.
That's right.
Wow. So they hanged his 10 sons on
the gallows.
And that was in Adar.
It was on the next day. This first was Adar 13. This was on Adar 14.
Adar 14.
Okay. Exactly 12 months from the time that they cast lots during the Passover season.
So the 10 sons were put on gallows at a different time. Some people, then Haman was put on there in a whole year before that, in the month of Nisan, when he exposed his plans to destroy Mordecai. For the Jews that were in Shushan, 15, gathered themselves together on the 14th day, also of the month of Adar, and slew 300 men at Shushan, but on the prey they laid not their hand. See,
that's
still
the second time.
They're still not touching anything.
Right.
But the other Jews that were in the king's providence gathered themselves together and stood for their lives. They all stood. They all, you know what? They were all in agreement.
That's right.
If the church would just come into agreement and had rest from their enemies and slew of their foes 75,000. But they laid not their hands on the prey. There hadn't been a lot of stuff.
That's right.
75,000 people. Does it say that any Jews died?
Nope.
I don't see it anywhere.
Uh-uh.
On the 13th day of the month of Adar, and on the 14th day of the same...
Rested they
and made it a day of feasting and gladness.
So this is how Purim was instituted, on the 13th and 14th.
That's right. But we have to think about this, that, you know, these things didn't all happen like in 1, 2, 3. No,
it took quite a few years.
A lot of planning, and from the time that Haman died, it was just about a year until they had their battle, just short of a year. But the Jews that were at Shushan assembled together on the 13th day thereof, and on the 14th day thereof, and on the 15th day of the same, they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. This is why the Jewish people are told to remember these things. Well, it's even mentioned this later on, I think, in the last chapter.
Last time I went to Israel, I was there during Purim, and there was, you know, the excitement there was incredible when they gathered together on the Sabbath and all.
It's a day of joy.
That's right.
It's a day of victory.
Yeah.
Therefore, the Jews of the villages that dwelt in the unwalled towns made the 14th day of the month of Adar a day of what? Gladness and feasting, a good day. And ascending portions one to another. This is where the coming of giving presents.
Gifts to the poor.
You know, people give presents at Hanukkah. Hanukkah's not a time for presents,
is it?
No,
nope.
It's not. But what do they do it now for?
Because they want to compete with Christmas.
And Christmas is not when Jesus died.
That's right.
And we're giving gifts, and it's all ridiculous. Amen. Verse 20. And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters unto all the Jews that were in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus, both nigh and far, to establish this among them, that they should keep the 14th day of the month of Adar and the 15th day of the same yearly, as the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, and from mourning into a good day, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, and sending portions one to another, and gifts to the poor. Wow. Mm-hmm. And the Jews undertook to do as they had begun, and as Mordecai had written unto them.
Let's stop right here
and
talk about this.
Awesome thing.
Let's just stop here and talk about this. Now, we know that, we just read all this, that Haman was hung on the gallows on Nisan 17. We can prove that because the day that they cast lots,
right,
was on the 13th of Nisan, and so then Esther told the people to fast for 3 days, day and night, which they did. Well, then that took them out to the 16th of Nisan, and then she had the second banquet on the 17th, and so here we got a prophetic foreshadow for you and I to look at, to see what the purpose that Christ came to this earth to do. We know Haman was a picture, Donna mentioned a while ago. He was a pattern of what Satan, Hasatan, and also the false Messiah. He was destroyed at that particular time. And so the power of the enemy was broken. When Christ died and rose on Nisan 17, remember, he went into the grave on the 14th, and he rose on the 17th of Nisan. When he came out of the grave that day, he destroyed all the power of the enemy in anyone's life that would come to Yeshua.
Amen.
We were born again. Greater is he that's in us than he that's out in the world. So he destroyed the power of the enemy at that particular time. And it's amazing to think about it. So he's destroyed the power of sin and death in our lives was taken when Christ came out of the grave. And that power that brought him out of the grave is still active today for people that would come to Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah, and ask him to be Lord of their lives. That power has been given to them, and the power of the enemy is broken. We don't have to do the things the enemy wants us to do. And so what a wonderful picture that God gave us. And then Donna talked about the 10 sons. You know, Haman had 10 sons. There's going to be a false Messiah that's going to come at the end of Jacob's trouble. And before that, we know. But the interesting thing is that there's going to be 10 kingdoms unified in some coalition that's going to come against the nation of Israel. What's going to happen? When Yeshua comes back, Revelation chapter 19, it's going to all be destroyed and put down, just like Esther and her people went out and destroyed all the works that Haman tried to put in place to destroy the Jewish people at this particular time. So, I mean, this incredible prophetic book that we have, it's just amazing what we have to show us. This happened, you know, quite a few years, several hundred years before Christ came to the earth and all. But here we have this window that God's showing. We're talking about, we got a window of time
right now.
We're looking through. So this was a window of time to show people what's going to happen. And so it's amazing to just understand. That right there to me is the whole theme of this book, is what Christ came to do for you and I. And we know Esther was told that she came for such a time as this. We're here on this earth for such a time as this. And we should honor that and know what God's wanting to do. But let's close this out and let's go to chapter 10. You want to read
it? There's always been a plan against the Jewish people. And it didn't just start here. It started it started way back with King Saul.
Sure.
And it even started before that when these people, because these are all descendants of the same people, when these people would not allow the Jewish people to go
pass through
the land when Moses had brought them through the sea.
That's right.
The Red Sea. So this all goes back with the plans of the enemy. Go right through this Bible, don't they?
Yep.
And it continues. It continues into the book of Revelation, the plans that the enemy has. But we know that with God, we're going to overcome, and so are the Jewish people going to overcome. Amen?
I want you to reach.
We didn't read all of chapter 9.
That's all right.
We don't have time.
It's when they established above the times appointed for our pure.
But let's chapter 10.
Read those three verses in chapter 10.
Ahasuerus, I'll get his tongue tied, laid a tribute upon the land and upon the isles of the sea, and all the acts of his power and of his might, and the declaration of the greatness of Mordecai.
Listen to that.
Whereunto the king advanced him, are they not written in the book of the chronicles of the kings of the Medes and the Persians? So it's in the books.
That's right.
Guys, for Mordecai the Jew was next unto the king Ahasuerus, and great among the Jews, and accepted of the multitude of his brethren, seeking the wealth of his people. Now wealth doesn't just mean money, amen?
Right.
It's the goodness of his people, and speaking peace to all his seed. And we don't have time, but you know, we know that there's a man that was prophesied that would come in a later time, and his name was
Yeshua.
Yeshua, but I'm thinking about Esther's son.
That's right. Cyrus.
And you know, I really believe that the spirit of Cyrus is on our president.
I do too.
So, you know, that's my belief. You mm-hmm. don't have to agree with me, but that's okay. But we're just blessed to be on here. You know, you need to read this book because, and you need to see the prophecies in it and how faithful, you know, this book should build your faith.
Sure should.
It should build your faith. And it should build the Jewish people's faith to know what God did in the past, he will do again. God is a God of deliverance.
That's right. I'm thinking about verse 2 here, mm-hmm. where it says, "And all the acts of his power and of his might and yeah. the destruction of the greatness of Mordecai were unto the king advanced him." So I look at Mordecai sort of like Christ, and Ahasuerus is the king. Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh advanced Yeshua to the highest pinnacle he could ever
place.
Be. Because he's humbled himself as a man, came to this earth, and died and humbled himself even to the point of the death on a cross. And because of that, God gave him a name above all names, mm-hmm. that every knee would bow, every tongue would confess that Yeshua, HaMashiach, would be Lord in heaven and earth and beneath. It means everywhere. It's an interesting pattern there.
You know, and Esther Hadassah, she was the vessel used.
That's right.
To advance the kingdom and to go before the king.
That's it.
To go before the king to get these petitions done. She was the vessel that was used. You know, so you know, God, every person is important.
It has a purpose.
It's
right.
Just so awesome, this book. Amen.
Sure.
So maybe next week we'll talk a little bit about the prophecy about her son. Because I know you've done some deep studies on that too, Cyrus.
Because I mentioned 2 weeks ago that Ahasuerus was not a man's name, it was a title. Like all the pharaohs, they had different names, but they were all called Pharaoh. And if I remember, it was like 4 or 5 of the kings were called Ahasuerus. Well, this Ahasuerus right here that Esther married was Darius the Mede. So they had a child.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
And his child's name was Cyrus.
Awesome.
And he was the one that was instrumental in bringing them back to Israel.
Isn't that awesome?
Reestablished
the
temple.
We can get into that next week. Because yeah. God is calling a lot of people back to Israel now.
That's right.
Well, this is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton, and we are blessed to be on this radio broadcast called Raising the Standard.
Yes.
Every Saturday at 12 noon, you can listen to this again, or you can call us and we'll send you a CD. Our phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. We're 007 agents for the
right.
Lord.
Yeah.
And we do have services tomorrow on Sunday at 10 a.m. We also have service every Friday night at 7 p.m. We have a Shabbat service every Friday. And we will be having a service next Saturday, but not this Saturday. So just give us a call. We'd love to hear from you guys. Or if you'd like to send an offering, or you'd like to have Pastor Gene's book about all the feasts of the Lord, which includes Purim, which includes the book of Daniel, which includes the book of Revelation, which has I don't know how many charts, 8 charts, I believe.
Well, I think I added a couple with those other
but
classes.
It's but very, it's
a lot of
has
charts.
All to do with the feast of the Lord and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to
Amen.
This earth and again to catch us away. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the
so
Lord.
So we're down to about 30 seconds here. We want to tell you, as we always do, we're on this program because we love you. We want to see the standard raised in the body of Christ, and boy, do we need it today.
Mm.
And so you can pray for our president and all his cabinet and all.
Amen.
And so we tell you every week as we close this program that we are here because we love people and we want to see that happen in your
Truth.
Life. Truth. Truth. So we tell you to look up because your redemption draweth nigh. And what do we say, Pastor Don?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at this same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.